जोराधमाधव कुंज विहारे जोराधमाधव कुंज विहारे जय गोपी जना गौरव गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जना गौरव गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधमाधव कुंज विहारी राधमाधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जना गौरव गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी राधमाधव कुंज विहारी राधमाधव कुंज विहारी
विष्णुपाय परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टो परस्त श्री श्रीमरेश भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभु पार की जय कंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय हिताय गौर फनंदे हरि हरि बो समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय आगे श्री समदवती आगे श्री समदवती आगे श्री समदवती आगे श्री 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 गुरु गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Canto 10, Chapter 6, The Killing of the Demon Putana, text number 32. Word meanings, new name, certainly, Bhutta, O my friends, Rishi, a great saintly person, Sanjata, has become, Yoga Isha, a master of mystic power, Da, or Samasa, has become, Sa, he, Vasudev, Sa, that, Eva, indeed, Drishta, has been seen by us. He, because, Utpata, kind of disturbance. Yet, that which Aha predicted, Anaka Dundubi, another name of Vasudeva. Nunandata Shri Sanjato, Yogesho Vasamasa Sa, Saeva Drishto Yutpato, Yarahana Kundu Dubi, Nunandata Shri Sanjato, Yogesho Vasamasa Sa, Saeva Drishto Yutpato, Yad Ahana Kundudubi, Nunandata Shri Sanjato, Yogesho Vasamasa Sa, Saeva Drishto Yutpato, Yarahana Kundundubi. Nunambatar Shri Sanjato. Translation. Nanda Maharaj and the other gopas exclaimed, "My dear friends, you must know that Anakadundubi, Vasudev, has become a great saint or a master of mystic power. Otherwise, how could he have foreseen this calamity and predicted it to us?" Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse illustrates the difference between Kshatriyas and innocent Vaishyas. By studying the political situation, Vasudeva could see what would happen. Whereas Nanda Maharaj, the king of the agriculturalists, could only guess that Vasudeva was a great saintly person and had developed mystic powers. Vasudeva actually had all mystic powers under his control, otherwise he could not have become the father of Krishna. But in fact, he foresaw the calamities in Braja by studying Kamsa's political activities, and thus warned Nanda Maharaj to take precautions. Although Nanda Maharaj thought that Vasudeva had predicted this incident through wonderful mystic powers. By mystic powers gained through the practice of Hatha Yoga, one can study and understand the future. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nunam Batarshi Sanjato Yogesho Vasamasasaha Saeva Drishto Hutpato Yad Ahana Kandundubhi. Nanda Maharaj and the other gopas exclaimed, "My dear friends, you must know that Anakadundubhi Vasudeva has become a great saint or master of mystic power. Otherwise, how could he have foreseen this calamity and predicted it to us?" Here we see two prominent associates of Lord Krishna being looked at in a couple of different ways. We might say here that in one sense they're being seen as ordinary representatives of the caste to which they belong. Because Nanda Maharaj is a Vaishya, he's acting in one particular way, and because Vasudeva is a Kshatriya, he's acting in another way. But at the same time, they're pure devotees, so they must have some kind of great powers. So first of all, this understanding of how Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are different is touched on. Probably refers to the Vaishyas as innocent. And the Kshatriyas, of course, Kshatriyas, we know from the story of Prahlad Maharaj that his father was trying to train him in what it's like to be a Kshatriya, or a ruler, a politician. One of the characteristics of a politician is that it's very hard to be straightforward in all of one's dealings because of so much intrigue that goes on. So Kshatriyas have to see things from a certain perspective. In fact, all of us see things from a certain perspective. We all have our sense of I, who I am. And according to that, we see things in a certain way. Because we're Americans, for example, we tend to see things in a certain way. People in other parts of the world may see things differently than we do. So many parts of what makes up our ahankar, or our designations, they influence the way we see the world. So here we're seeing it in a very broad sense, the four varnas, how Vaishyas see in one way and Kshatriyas see in another way. We know, of course, our desires also influence the way we see things. In fact, as we're under the modes of material nature, we never see things clearly because all our desires are always getting in the way. In fact, Prabhupada says we don't see Krishna because of our main desire, which is to enjoy separately from him. He's everywhere, and we don't even see him because we're not looking for him, for one thing. One reason that Kshatriyas see things or politicians see things in a certain way is because they want to. They have some motive, some reason for seeing things in a certain way. There's a nice verse proper quotes, Narayana mayam dhiram pasyanti paramartina jagad dhanamayam dubdha kamuka kamani mayam. This verse is especially a glorification of the devotee. It says, the devotee sees Narayana everywhere. Narayana mayam dhiram pasyanti paramartina. And then a comparison is made, jagad dhanamayam dubdha kamuka kamani mayam. So two other kinds of persons. The greedy person sees in the world everywhere opportunity for making money. We might say this is a kind of Vaishya mentality too. Although Really, the Vaishya that we see, the picture that we see described in the Vedic culture is not so much someone who's always looking for profit. The way Prabhupada presents Vaishyas generally is their main business is agriculture, farming, and cow protection. And with the surplus, then you sell the surplus. But it's not like they're always thinking, where am I going to make a buck? They don't seem to have that entrepreneurial spirit so much. But today we might say that modern Vaishyas, in fact, if you're not thinking like that, you're probably not going to make any money. You have to always be looking. We see that there are certain people who are like that. They can always seem to make money somehow. Not too many devotees are in that category, but other people, they always seem to know. So they're always looking for the opportunity also. Of course, there are so many books that tell you where to find the opportunities and how to make the best of them and so on. This is the modern Vaishya. So they're categorized as greedy. The greedy person always sees the opportunity for making money. And kamuka kamanimayam, the lusty person sees beautiful women everywhere. Sees opportunity for seducing women and enjoying women and so on. The lusty person, that's all that's on his brain. It's how can I find women and enjoy women? So that's a picture of the world. The whole world gets tainted by this vision, by the glasses that are influenced by our desires. So Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, they have different work that they do. So they think in different ways according to the work of it, their occupation. Sometimes I think about what people do all day long, different kinds of occupations we have, how it has influenced the way you think. You know, it's one thing you're sitting in an assembly line and all day long you're going, boom, you know, something, stamping something or moving this thing. So 8 hours a day, that's all you do. How machine-like, you become like the machine. It seems like, how can you think right? So it's so different from someone who's teaching or whatever, using the brain more and maybe interacting with a lot of people or some occupations. I was thinking of acting. That's kind of a strange occupation. You spend your whole day being somebody else. And if you're good at it, you really get into it. You lose yourself in the world, practically. So, kind of a schizophrenic life, it seems like. So all of these things, they are occupations, they affect the way that we think. So the Vaishyas, they have a simple life, taking care of cows, farming, growing produce. And the Kshatriya, it's a little more complicated because there's so much, there's power involved. Whenever there's the quest for power, then there's always going to be bad elements in there. You have to learn how to deal with people intricately, how to get what you want. One of the things, of course, the Kshatriya is, a Kshatriya is in control. That's what they do. Ishvara Bhava, they have that bhava, that tendency to want to control things. Now, if they're pure, then they have pure reasons for it. They want to control things for Krishna. For they have dharmic motives behind their controlling. So they have to understand things in order to do it right. So this is the situation with Vasudeva. He's raised as a Kshatriya. He understood intrigue. He could read the signs, political signs. So Prabhupada says that he judged the political situation. He knew what Kamsa, because Kamsa, of course, Kamsa was afraid for his own life. But that's part of being a politician too. Looking out for your own security. If you want to rule, if you want to continue ruling, you have to be alive. So in his political way of thinking, Vasudeva could judge that bad things are going to happen. Because he's afraid for his life, because he has power, and because he has allies that are evil people, evil beings, then he's going to use them. So he just saw it as a natural way of looking at the world. This is going to happen. Whereas Vasudeva, he thought, Nanda Maharaj, he predicted the future. Look, we came back from, he said, you better get back to Vrindavan because bad things are going to happen. And as soon as we get back to Vrindavan, there's this huge monster 8 miles long. Something horrible has happened here. Just like he predicted. He's a yogisha. That's what he calls him. He's a great yogi. He's developed mystic vision. He was able to predict the future. He's a little simple-minded. They probably present it as innocent. And we know there's course in, there's something similar with Prabhupada. I think this fable comes up in different cultures. Prabhupada talks about it. One man is sitting on the end of a limb on a tree and he's sawing on the inside. And someone says, if you keep doing that, you're going to fall. No. So of course he cuts and falls down. Oh, you predicted the future, you great mystic. So he was just using his brain, obviously. So I don't think Manamaraj is this innocent and foolish, but that's the idea that we get here. He was innocent. He didn't look at things the same way that Vasudev did. So now we have the other whole side of this. We often wonder in Krishna's pastimes, you know, is a devotee being presented as this real, or is this just part of the yoga maya that's going on here? Is this all lila? Or how do all devotees have all the same, you know, they're perfect, so does that mean they all know everything? And Manamaraj was just sort of putting on a show here because he actually knows everything. So Prabhupada sort of hints at that maybe that's the way it is, because he says when he had control of all mystic powers. So maybe he did know more than he did. So what is the situation here? How do we see? Now we know, of course, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that the Vaishnava is extremely difficult. You can't understand the activities of a Vaishnava. Sometimes they appear very bewildering. Even we look at different personalities that we know from the Vedic culture. Sometimes I think of how enriched our lives have become because we know these people. In our life, not only did we meet Krishna, but we met Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and all these great, the Goswamis, all these people that we've met because we met Prabhupada. So they all have their certain characteristics, and many of them they're described as perfect. So what does it mean that they're perfect? Can we understand certain characteristics of the pure devotee looking at the different examples? And specifically in this context of perfection is probably being able to see the future. Because we hear sometimes the devotee is trikalagya, knows the past, present, and future. And Vyasadeva, he's described that way in the Bhagavatam. He was able to predict, he was able to foresee what was going to happen in Kali Yuga. So is that true for all pure devotees? Do they all have this power? So this, some of you may know, there has been some controversy, as there are many controversies in ISKCON. So one of them had to do with Prabhupada's ability to predict the future. One famous prediction that he made was that World War III is coming, and it's going to be coming very soon. Those were the words that Prabhupada used. Very soon. I have a here just a little excerpt from it. There's actually on the database, there's a morning walk called World War III. You can read the details. But Prabhupada said, yes, all Western adventure to keep people in darkness, and that is going on. Now it will be smashed by the next world war. Next war will come very soon. Tamal Krishna said, surprise. He goes, oh? Prabhupada, yes. Tamal Krishna, next war? Prabhupada, your country, America, is very much eager to kill these communists, and the communists are also very eager. Very soon there will be war, and perhaps India will be the greatest sufferer. So it goes on, Prabhupada gets pretty specific. He says, Pakistan will attack India, the United States will side with Pakistan, and Russia will side with India, or the Soviet Union. Of course, it was the Soviet Union at that time. It was a communist country. So devotees, they generally say, well, this prediction didn't come true, obviously. There's not even a communist Russia to attack anybody anymore. And Prabhupada did say very soon, so it seems like Prabhupada was wrong here. So this brings up another question. So is it possible that Prabhupada was wrong? What does it mean? So there's this morning walk where devotees are asking Prabhupada about what it means to be perfect, for the guru to be perfect. Actually, I have this one which I've sometimes quoted.
This is from another walk. The devotee asks, Prabhupada, when we try to explain to people that our philosophy of Krishna consciousness is authoritative and is coming from undisturbed men, learned men, that our spiritual master is not an ordinary man, what does it mean that he is not an ordinary man? Prabhupada, he is not moved by the rascal scientists. All rascals are moved by so-called scientists. So this was his one explanation for how the Guru is not an ordinary man. So then this other walk, I think this was in Mayapur. So I'll read some of this, make some comments. Disciple, they know everything and they're perfect in everything, the pure devotees. But sometimes from our material viewpoint, we see some discrepancies. Just like we think that, Prabhupada, because material viewpoint, the viewpoint is wrong. Therefore you find discrepancies. Disciple, so we should think that we have the defect? Prabhupada, yes. Acharya has explained, bhakti sangsana, one who's preaching the cult of devotional service, he's acharya. Then why should you find any discrepancy? Disciple, because we see, for instance, sometimes the acharya may seem to forget something or not to know something. So from our point of view, if someone has forgotten, that is an imperfection. Prabhupada, no. Then you do not understand. Acharya is not God omniscient. He is servant of God. His business is to preach bhakti cult. That is acharya. Disciple, and that is perfection. Prabhupada, that is perfection. Hare Krishna. Disciple, so we have a misunderstanding of what perfection is? Prabhupada, yes. Perfection is here. How he is preaching bhakti cult. That's all. Disciples, Srila Prabhupada, there's also a question of reciprocation. You have so many disciples, thousands. And one devotee was asking me yesterday, I want to please Prabhupada, how does he know my progress and my service because when I'm so far away from him and I don't write to him, Prabhupada, so his representatives are there, the president, the GBC, they will see. This, of course, those of us who joined when Prabhupada was around early, this was so much ingrained in our way of thinking, wasn't it? Because Prabhupada says things like this often. You don't have to serve me directly, you don't have to see me, you just serve your representatives. I've set up this institution. You serve in your place within the institution. You obey your temple authorities. And that will please me. That's how the whole thing will run. So we very much thought that way in the early days. We didn't just leave temples. We were serving under the temple authorities. So Prabhupada is saying, if you do that, that's how you're pleasing me because you're pleasing my representatives. So he wasn't, you see his answer wasn't, I have some power where I know what's going on in your mind at every moment. Which is something I think about all the time, Is Prabhupada seeing every single thought that's going on in my mind? Or is everybody, if I say a prayer to one of the acharyas, do they somehow hear me? How does that work? My answer to that is, I have no idea how it works. So in any case, we'll go home with this. Anyway, we see how Prabhupada spoke in just kind of an ordinary way. I understand it in this way, through ordinary way, not through some kind of transcendental vision. Let's see. A devotee says, the representatives, disciple, the representative may be there, but what is my personal relationship? Prabhupada, To obey your spiritual master. Whatever he has said, you strictly follow. Follow away with the principles, chant 16 rounds, that's all. Disciple, Prabhupada, when Srila Vyasadeva was lamenting after compiling so many Vedic literatures, before compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, he said to his spiritual master, Narada Muni, you please enter within me and find out my deficiency. You are as good as the operating supersoul. So here the devotee is quoting some scripture, he's saying, but Prabhupada says in the scripture, at least in Vyasadeva's case, that he was as good as the supersoul. In other words, he could know everything, just like the supersoul knows everything. So, of course, part of this phrase is, find out my discrepancy. That's part of the question that he asked, because you're as good as the supersoul. So Prabhupada answers on that part. This is always the position of the spiritual master, to find out the deficiency in the character of the disciple. He said that you're as good as the operating super soul. Again, Prabhupada goes to the other side. Yes, he pointed out the deficiency. You are not described so elaborately about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is his deficiency. The disciple is always deficient. So Prabhupada goes on this tack, emphasizing this point. The spiritual master sees the disciple as a fool. Even Lord Chaitanya, the spiritual master, called him a fool. So then the devotee, Prabhupada, in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, you write that a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. So even the disciple is supposed to know everything. Prabhupada, yes, if he follows the spiritual master, the disciple, but how could he know? What does that mean, everything? So I want to interject a little something here. Yes, I've sometimes said that we have to be careful about taking things as completely literal all the time. Because what does everything mean? It means everything. Right? I remember one time I wasn't satisfied with some answers I'd heard because Prabhupada often says that in the spiritual world, everything is there. So I remember hearing that one senior devotee was asked this question many years ago, and the question was getting very specific. They were doing some construction at the temple, and the devotee was like, well, Prabhupada, is there insulation, or not Prabhupada, this Swami, is there insulation paper in Goloka Vrindavan? Yes, everything is there. Are there nails and hammers? Yes. So whatever the world said, he just said yes. So I thought, I don't know about that. You know, the world says everything, so everything must be there, right? So obviously it's not exactly what Prabhupada meant. Now I asked him, that was Sannyasi, sometime later, he was giving class, and after class I asked him what it meant, that everything was there. And he said, everything is there because the material world is included within the spiritual world, therefore everything is in the spiritual world, which I also thought was kind of a cop-out answer. Because that's not the point that Prabhupada was making when he says everything is there. Now, in a little thought, we can say, well, Prabhupada means everything because people are there, and houses are there, and activities are there, and variety is there. But we know there's no disease there, there's no, you know, all the horrible things that go on in this world, they're not there. So it's not really everything. You have to sort of put everything in quotation marks. So here we see when the devotee is asking Prabhupada, what does that mean, everything? Because it's said that the disciple is supposed to know everything. So Prabhupada says, everything means whatever his guru knows, he should know that much. Not that, like God, everything, within his limit, that's all. If he tries to understand whatever his guru has said, that much is everything. Otherwise, everything does not mean that we know everything. Like God, like Krishna, that is not possible. If he regularly chants and follows the regulative principles, follows the orders of guru, then he knows everything. That's all. Not very much. Krishna, everything, knows everything, then what is the use of reading books when he knows everything? Everything except Krishna, there's some break here in it. Then Ahamsa, Sarvasya Chahamriti Sannivishto, he knows past, present, and future everything. You cannot expect anyone to know like Krishna everything. So I think this, when Prabhupada quotes this Sarvasya Chamriti Sannivishto, I'm situating everyone's heart, he's referring to Krishna knows everything, past, present, and future. You cannot expect anyone to know like Krishna everything. Disciple, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one who knows him knows everything. Prabhupada, yes, because if he knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he knows everything. That's all. Now here it obviously seems as if Prabhupada is saying that's equivalent to everything. If you know that one thing, then you don't need to know anything else. In other words, you might say, you already know everything, because if you know that, then of course your life is perfect. Because if you really know that, then you know how to act, you know your constitutional position, you know what reality is. That's really knowing everything. The yogis, they meditate because they want to have some kind of... a darshan of reality. They want to see how it all fits together, how it all works. But if you know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you know everything. At least in principle. Let's see. Not that he should know as Krishna. Yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyate bhavati. If he accepts Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, then he knows everything. That is finished. Disciple, that knowledge itself is complete. Prabhupada, yes. Disciple, if there's some material information that such a person doesn't know, that's not really knowledge anyway. If he doesn't know how many people live in such and such, the very, another devotee says, just like Gaurakishore could not write. So it appeared that there was something that he did not know, although he knew Krishna. Prabhupada, yes, he knows everything. Otherwise, how Bhakti Siddhanta accepted him as guru? He knows Krishna, that's all. Disciple, whatever the spiritual master says, that is also perfect. Prabhupada, yes. Because he says nothing concocted. Whatever he says from Shastra and Guru. So that's a little insight into that. I don't know if it's more confusing or less, but we see how how devotees, I've mentioned before, how even in Krishna's pastimes, everyone is perfect, obviously. And you would think that, in one sense, why should there be any limit to what the devotee can do or what the devotee can know? Not conditioned anymore. In this world, we're conditioned. So certain conditions have to be met in order for us to understand things or do things. But in the spiritual world, those conditions don't exist. So the devotee should be free to do everything, know everything. The Prabhupada says that when Krishna and the cowherd boys would play, the more talented boys would sing for Krishna. So some boys could sing better than others, apparently. So not everyone is equal, not everyone, even in the spiritual world, in a liberated state. Now, there may be, in principle, we could say, well, the devotee can always change, you can always get that knowledge, or so on. But that doesn't seem to be the state of affairs, the way things work in the spiritual world. Everyone is a unique individual with the unique characteristics. So even the pure devotees, they're unique persons. They exhibit different aspects of personality and different characteristics. And from our point of view, they don't always seem to be above everything, completely transcendental, except in that they're always serving Krishna. That's their perfection. Every thought, word, and deed is used in the service of Krishna, and that is the definition of perfection and knowing everything, as Prabhupada has described here. So, verse again. Nunam bhata rishi sanjato yogesho va samasa saha sa eva drishto yutpato yad ahanu anakandundubhi. Nanda Maharaj and the other gopas exclaimed, my dear friends, you must know that Anakadundubhi, Vasudev, has become a great saint or master of mystic power. Otherwise, how could he have foreseen this calamity and predicted it to us? Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
I don't know if this boy heard the guru knows everything, but he inquired, he said, so Swamiji, how many windows in the Empire State Building? I think that was the question. And Prabhupada said, how many drops of water in the mirage?
Uh-huh.
You know. So, but I always had the impression that the spiritual master knows everything in the sense that he has access to everything. He billionaire just like a millionaire. He doesn't walk with millions of dollars in his pocket. But if he needs to write a check, he can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so some aspect like that.
Yeah, we tend to think of it that way too. Because the devotee is connected to the super soul, then he has access to whatever knowledge is there. Although, as I was saying, the spiritual master appears to be an ordinary person. So you would say, well, Prabhupada had access to the verses he was quoting, but sometimes he quoted them wrong, so why was that? Now, the why part of it is something that would be hard for us to understand. Why did Prabhupada not know certain things? There's one talk where someone is asking Prabhupada about Vaibhav Prakash, which is, there are different forms of Krishna, Swayam Rupa and so on. So Vaibhav Prakash is one form of Krishna for his leelas. And the devotee said, first of all, the devotee was mispronouncing it, and he was saying Vaibhava instead of Vaibhav. So Prabhupada kept thinking he was saying Mayor Baba, and he said, why do you bring up this rascal? He thought he was saying Mayor Baba. So anyway, at one point Prabhupada says, he says, what is there in the books? He said, you shouldn't accept the spiritual master to be like an encyclopedia, that he just knows everything. And then Prabhupada went through a whole explanation of what it was. He says, Vaibhav Prakash, and then there's Prabhupada Prakash, and he actually explained the whole thing. But he did say that. You don't think the spiritual master is just an encyclopedia that he's just going to randomly or wrote, he can just recite everything by heart. So he doesn't manifest, he doesn't show that. But in principle, yes, that would seem to be a correct idea, that he can know whatever Krishna wants him to know because he's connected to Krishna.
Talking about Russia and how Prabhupada talked about World War III and how can it seem possible now, but if you have been watching the news over the last year, I think Putin is now president again, and they are very aggressive and they have put all their money into weapons and they're becoming really aggressive towards the West again after all these years of peace between us. So the world can change at any moment, and right now Russia is really building their war machine, and they have plans for the future.
Yeah, so it might still happen. That's why I made reference to very soon. Now, what does very soon mean? Sometime during the next 10,000 years, or, you know, depends on whose scale of time you're looking at. But when we heard very soon, if you read that conversation to others, you say, well, what are we going to do? What should we do, Prabhupada? And some people even started stockpiling guns and, you know. But Prabhupada, we're just going to continue, he said. We're going to preach. That's what we're going to do. He gave the example. He said, just like the farmers there and the soldiers are coming by and the farmers have nothing to do with the fight. And the soldiers just say, run it that way. You know, chase them, you know, get off my property and go fight somewhere else. So he said, the devotees are like that. We have nothing to do with this fighting, but preaching. There he said, well, the preaching be good. And Prabhupada said, after the war, when they've destroyed everything, the preaching will be good. So you're right. I mean, it can still happen. But when devotees heard it, they really thought very soon means very soon. Kirikram? Oh.
Haribol, you made some bold statement. I think that for some people they might not take it so easy, you know, but language is either figurative or literal. And there's sometimes a tendency to take the figurative as literal, or literal as figurative and so forth. So,
sometimes, what are you saying? I can't understand what you're saying.
I say sometimes.
No, but back to literal, what are you saying?
Figurative.
Literal or figurative? Oh, okay.
And so, you know, like for example, I say he kicked the bucket, which means he died, you know, but for some people they may think it's literally means he like that. So sometimes these things are within our scriptures, and And it depends to how we interpret. But of course, the spiritual master is in the best position to interpret it properly. Also, like in the purer ages, like in Satyayuga, Treta Yuga, and so, the saintly persons, they had that ability to actually read the mind and see mentally and predict things, because at that time the mind was very powerful. I mean, they used to do meditation and so on. They were, the mind was very much purified, and they had that ability. But as the age waned, then those abilities are actually lost, you know. And so even the spiritual master now, you know, he might not have that kind of ability, you know, like in Satyayuga or Treta Yuga.
I was thinking it'd be quite unfortunate to be a mind reader nowadays. You'd get a lot of trash. But anyway, I was thinking that in reviewing the same idea on how to understand, and what appeared to me was everything is optimized for rasa, for the taste. And the way Krishna does everything, it's optimized because he's the rasaraj. So, and he maximizes each situation for how much flavor it can produce according to each person that he's working with. And that seems to make a lot of sense, because that's what he's interested in, is the exchange with him.
Yeah, so in other words, whatever we read and we see in the context of Krishna's lila and how it contributes to that, which is ultimately it's about Krishna's enjoyment.
And even with us, you know, everything that's happening with us, how do we understand things? It's maximized for our development of Krishna consciousness in the mode of goodness anyway. You see how to apply everything that's happening in a positive way for your Krishna consciousness.
Okay, we're past time. We'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki.